Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, Grandpa Jim Hobgood. Well, what a difference a week makes. UVA's men and women basketball teams suffered tough losses to Miami and Florida State, respectively. The Hoos have to shake it off. Many of the other Cavaliers sports teams have big weeks ahead. We're glad that you've joined us tonight.
This is Hobbo. Indeed, we're glad you're with us tonight. We have another great show lined up for you tonight. Shortly, we will be joined by former UVA forward Bryant Stith. Later in the program, we'll have UVA swim coach Mark Bernardino and his former freestyle star Phil Perdue to help us preview the upcoming ACC Swimming Championships, where Virginia has dominated in recent years. The Wahoo swimmers are attempting to win their fourth straight ACC titles in both men and women's events. There are several ways that you can follow the show, and Mr. Michael Tuskey will tell you how to do that right now.
Well, Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our previous shows are also archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to go on Facebook, just search for Who's Talking and become a fan. Your questions and comments are welcome following Bryant Stith's visit. Just call us at 345-0910.
As Frank indicated, Virginia suffered a tough defeat down in Coral Gables on Saturday. Maybe a questionable call at the end, but regardless, Virginia now 12-11, 3-6 in the ACC. The Hoos travel down to Florida again this Saturday to play Florida State in Tallahassee. We'll have a little bit more about that later. And then, of course, a week from tonight at 7 o'clock, John Paul Jones, the Duke Blue Devils, come to town. So Tony Bennett has his hands full in the next 7 days, that's for sure. Frank and I came into the studio yesterday to pre-record the interview with Bryant Stith. He is coaching his high school team in Brunswick, Virginia. So they have a game tonight, so we had to pre-record Bryant. As all of our listeners know, Bryant is the all-time leading scorer at Virginia. He is the fourth all-time leading rebounder, and he is one of six Virginia basketball players to have his jersey and number retired. So we're going to go to the interview right now.
All right. We're visiting with Bryant Stith tonight. Bryant, maybe Frank, he's right up there with the all-time greats.
Absolutely.
One of six retired numbers at the University of Virginia, had a great playing career. Bryant, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me on.
Let's take you back to your playing days. You know, the one thing I noticed as I look at the lineups, when you were first there, of course, you had the guard play of Richard Morgan and John Crotty, and, of course, Bryant Stith at the three slot, so you had kind of a perimeter-oriented team. And then by the end of your playing career, you had Junior Burrow and Ted Jeffries, and had more of an interior game. So how did your playing career develop over that four-year period going from the perimeter to the interior?
Well, I think when I first came as a first-year player to the University of Virginia, it was probably my most balanced team that I played on in my 4 years there. We had, of course, great guard play with Richard Morgan and John Crotty, but we also had junior college transfers, Brent Dabbs and also Curtis Williams, who really provided a well-rounded team for us. That's the reason why we were able to advance so far in the NCAA tournament. We really gelled toward the end of the season and made a great run, and it was probably the most memorable time of my 4 years while I was in Charlottesville.
Yeah, that year went all the way to the regional final, losing to Michigan in the regional final. I guess Virginia, I think, has only been to four regional finals in the history of the program, so that had to be pretty special.
Oh, it really was, and, you know, it was exciting. I was just like a deer in the headlight. I was just enjoying the moment. But Coach Holland did a great job of just keeping us grounded, kept us working hard, and, you know, we were able to enjoy the fruits of our labor.
Bryant, this is Frank. Glad you could join us tonight.
Hey, Frank.
Good to talk to you again. Looking back at those years, beginning in 1988, going into the early 90s, you had the distinct pleasure of playing for two coaches, both Terry Holland and then Jeff Jones. Maybe talk to our fans a little bit about what it was like to go through that sort of transition, because it may relate a little bit to what UVA's fans are going through now as Tony Bennett has taken the reins these last 2 years.
Well, you know, when, of course, Coach Holland really served as a almost as a father figure to me when I was being recruited, and that was the main reason why I wanted to attend the University of Virginia. So it was really difficult at first for me to accept the fact that he was leaving. I remember talking to the athletic director at the time, who was Mr. Jim Copeland, and he had talked about bringing in possibly Mike Montgomery or also Rick Barnes, who was at Providence at the time. He asked me what my opinion would be. I told him that, you know, I would much prefer to have a seamless transition. If it was all possible, I would like to play for somebody that was familiar with the program. I don't know how much weight they carried, but I knew that Jeff Jones was then named the next basketball coach, and it worked well for us because not much changed. Jeff came in, and he put his stamp on the program, but the basis was already there, and we just continued to work hard. As a result, you know, we went on and had two productive seasons under Coach Jones, and I capped off my career by winning the NIT championship at Madison Square Garden.
Bryant, we're visiting with Bryant Stith, former standout at the University of Virginia, needless to say. You talked about it being a seamless transition, which it was. But what would you say were the differences between Jeff and Terry, if any?
Oh, well, Coach Jones was much more energetic. He was more fiery. You know, Coach Holland was more, you know, laid back. And, you know, he really allowed his assistant coaches to do a lot of the coaching. When Coach Jones came in, he was very hands-on, a lot of energy. You could just tell in our practices it was more competitive. And, you know, it was a reflection of his attitude. You know, I think that we all enjoyed that because, you know, we got after one another, but it also made us better. And, you know, I could see my game improving. And as a result, you know, when I went to the NBA, you know, I was ready and I felt comfortable where I was and who I was as a player.
I just had a quick follow-up question about that 89 season. You go to the NCAA tournament, the first two games you play Providence and Middle Tennessee. You score 100 points against Providence and 104 against Middle Tennessee. How has the NCAA tournament changed? Plus, that was a Terry Holland team. I thought Terry coached defense, and you're winning games 100-97.
You forgot we had a guy on that team named Richard Morgan. It was no such thing as a shot clock.
So you didn't need one in those days, huh?
Yeah, you're exactly right, because when Richard got it going, he could shoot it with the best of them. But at that time, we were playing great basketball. We found our niche right there at the NCAA tournament that we could play good, sound, fundamental basketball at a higher rate and a greater pace. Therefore, Coach Holland allowed us to push the basketball. And what happened when we played against Michigan, they actually slowed the basketball game down, and they used their size to wear us down because they were phenomenally bigger than we were, and they had a decided size advantage over us, and that's how they were able to control the tempo of the game and eventually go on and win a national championship.
You know, all those games bring back amazing memories. Bryant, thinking back on looking at the players today, and then, you know, the argument is always, are the players today as talented, as developed, you know, as skilled and so forth? And I think back to when you arrived at UVA, and then as you developed during your 4 years there, you know, you're one of the more versatile players ever to play at Virginia. Not only could you score with the ball, but I thought you were extremely effective without the ball. You'd go get rebounds, or you'd go set a pick, or you'd go get a loose ball, and then either feed an open man or score yourself. And you could also – you had a lot of steals during your career. I'd forgotten how many steals you had. You had 100-and-some steals during your time, I want to say maybe 170. And I'm watching the kids today, and so many of them just are not very versatile. And what do you think causes that? And as a coach today, maybe you can talk a little bit to that.
You know, I think it really goes back to high school. While the athlete today is so much more skill at an early age than we were when, well, I know I'm going to speak personally, than I was when I played. But I don't think that the passion is there. I think that we had greater passion when we played back then as opposed to now. And a lot of that has to do with AAU. AAU has taken on a different role than it did back in the 80s. Back in the 80s, we may have played one tournament a month, and we worked a lot on just basic fundamental basketball, shooting, defending, dribbling, ball handling drills. And I think what you see now is every weekend there's an AAU basketball tournament. Therefore, the kids get tired of playing basketball. They don't play with any intensity. They play just enough to be able to get by. It's almost comparative of what you see in the NBA. It looks like the NBA players are not playing as hard. They don't play until the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game. And then what happens is the value of a game loses its meaning. That's why a lot of people love college basketball as opposed to NBA, because it's more exciting. The guys are in your face for 40 minutes, and they're willing to just lay it all out on the line. But realistically, you can't do that in an 82-game season. And I think that you saw that with the decision of LeBron James this summer. He didn't want that to bear that burden for 82 games. He wanted to share that with other great players. And I think that's the reason why he chose Miami to go and share that burden with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. Right. And the same holds true now for our college athletes. They are very talented. They are very skilled. But at the same time, you just don't see that same passion like you used to back when we played.
Bryant, we appreciate your visiting with us. We're visiting with Bryant Stith, former Virginia all-star, standout, icon, all sorts of titles go with Bryant. Before we let you go, a couple questions. Speaking of coaching, I know you're coaching down at Brunswick High School. How do you enjoy doing that?
Oh, this is a blast. I had no idea that I would enjoy coaching as much as I did when I retired from the NBA. Actually, when I moved back home, the only thing I wanted to do was just kind of rehabilitate my body and just kind of take it easy. We had a change in administration, and they asked if I would be interested in coaching the team. I had to talk to my wife, and I told her, it would be a great change for me. It would give me something to do, and I tell you, these kids have been great, and they have renewed my passion for the game of basketball. And, it's just been a great fit for me and also for the kids of this community.
Brian, one question we always ask our Wahoo alumni is we always like to know, what was your favorite moment as a Cavalier, as an athlete?
Other than right now.
Oh, listen, I have several. I have several. The first definitely has to be when we upset Oklahoma my first year at the university. That was a great moment for me. And it kind of reminded of me when I was playing with the Nuggets, and we were the first number 8 seed to upset a number 1 seed when we upset Seattle. It was like David versus Goliath, and nobody gave us a chance, but we found a way to get it done. My second definitely had to be when I scored the last 19 points against Notre Dame up in South Bend. I still look back, at that game as in amazement and just say, wow. And that's something that I tell my boys today. They don't believe it. And so I had to pull out the tape and let them see it for themselves.
It was 68-67, and that was Jeff Jones's first year.
Yes, sir. Yeah. That was
well, the last time I scored the last 19 points, nobody else was in the gym.
That's the same thing my son says. They said, Dad, are you sure with anybody playing against?
Well, Bryant, we sure do appreciate your taking a few minutes and visiting with us. We'll look for it. Now that we know where you are and how to track you down, we'll do it again before too long.
Well, that's great. I really enjoyed the time, and thanks for having me on. And like I said, go Wahoos.
No question about that. Bryant Stith of the Virginia Cavaliers joining us tonight.
Yes, Frank and Jim back. We thank Bryant for joining us yesterday. That was terrific and a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to go to our break now. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't forget, bottom of the hour, we'll have UVA head swim coach Mark Bernardino joining us live. Back after these messages.
All right, we're back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is Frank and Jim Hobgood. We're glad to have former Wahoo Ford joining us previously. That was a lot of fun. Anyway, Hobbo, we got our play of the game coming up.
Yes, and of course, the player of the game during basketball season, sponsored by our friends at the Mark Foss Brown team at Keller Williams Realty. And Frank will describe what was an unfortunate play of the game.
That's true. In Saturday's tough loss down at Miami, UVA guard Sammy Zaglinski racked up 11 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. Not too bad for a guy playing with a bad hip and a repaired knee. Sammy, unfortunately, was involved in a controversial call. He was called for a foul on three-point shooter Ryan Brown's attempt with 13.7 seconds left. You can almost hear Coach Tony Bennett saying, "Get away from him." Anyway, Brown was awarded 3 free throws, which he made to force overtime. Post-game, Sammy claimed he never touched Brown. Coach Bennett would not talk about it after the game, but then in the teleconference on Monday, after having reviewed the tape, he basically implied that there was no contact. He felt like he didn't want to disrespect any officials, but that's as nice a way of saying, my guy did not foul that guy.
Well, the call may have been a phantom call, but the 3 free throws were real.
Yes.
And give the kid credit. He went to the line and made 3 when he had to make them to tie the game. But to be honest, last weekend was not my weekend. You know, my Who's go down Saturday, my Steelers go down Sunday night, so it wasn't good for Hobbo. But, you know, Virginia's got a 5-point lead with less than a minute to go.
Got to find a way to win the game.
You got to finish that one out. That's been a problem for this team all year long. But the tough thing about the Miami game, it was a problem finishing in the last 50 seconds. And the last 3 Miami possessions were a Virginia foul on a 3-point shooter.
Yes.
Next Miami possession, the Miami player made a 3-point basket, and then the last Miami possession was the foul on a 3-point shooter. Now, whether or not it was an actual foul or not, the officials called it. So basically, Miami the first possession where the foul occurred, they only made 2 free throws, but they got 2, 3, and 3, so they got 8 points in those 3 possessions, and Virginia was not able to convert all their free throws, and so be it. Cavs lose.
You know, looking back at the box score very quickly, Mustafa Farrakhan had a good game. He was 7 of 11 from the field, 20 points. One assist is a little alarming, particularly since he had 4 turnovers. He's got to flip that around. He needs 4 assists and maybe 1 turnover. Joe Harris seems to be coming back to life. He was 6 of 12, scored 18 points. 2 assists, 1 turnover, and 3 steals. That's a pretty good line for Joe Harris. The fellow that I'm a little concerned about is KT Harold. Took 5 shots, and he was 0 for, and he had 2 assists, though, 1 block and 1 steal, so he was obviously competing. But he of late, he's been struggling a little bit, and he's hit that freshman wall, maybe, and
which
maybe,
happens.
And maybe Joe Harris has climbed over the wall, and we need KT to climb over that same wall.
Well, but Joe may hit it. Other than the mental mistakes in the last minute, which I would call fouling people and giving open looks, mental mistakes as well as physical, the thing that really jumps off the stat sheet is the 9 for 22 at the free throw line.
Which is just ridiculous.
You know, and Joe Harris, even though he had a good game, he was 2 for 6, and Mustafa 4 for 9. And Mustafa's, he's an 80-some percent free throw shooter. And he was, you know, he made 3 of 4 in the last minute. Had he been able to convert all 4 of them, Virginia gets out of Coral Gables with a win. But hopefully, you know, it's another learning experience of which this team's had several.
Well, this seems to be the year of the injuries and the painful losses. Maybe they can turn it around. They've got Florida State on the road, which is a tough environment. They come back to Charlottesville, and then they play the toughest team in the conference in Duke. But maybe a sellout crowd can help carry the Hoos forward.
Well, you never know. And they certainly played Duke well for 30 minutes down in Durham, so we'll see. But at any rate, We're going to go to our bottom of the hour break. Don't forget, we'll be back after these messages with Virginia swim coach Mark Bernardino. Stay with us.